going to preach from one passage of Scripture today. Turn your attention to Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15. And I felt this passage strongly as we were at youth camp this past week. And I wasn't sure that I would preach depending on how long the speakers took and what all took place in service today. But I believe the Lord has directed me to this for today. Joshua 24, 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that are on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So for a little bit shorter time than normal, I'm going to preach from this thought you see on the screen behind me. As for me and my house. God bless you. You may be seated. It would appear that everyone serves something or someone. The particular word in our text today, which is there some three times in this particular text, is used 290 times in the Old Testament. It means to labor, to work, to do work, to work for another, to serve another by your labor, to serve as subjects, such as some would serve as under a king. We serve the king. Or it means to serve God. And frequently it is used in the context of serving that the Levites would do. This particular word, it can mean service that can be directed toward things or people or God. It's a broad use of the word, and it would seem that people always are serving something. For many in our culture, they are serving materialism. They can never have enough stuff. They're always wanting more and more and more. They're seeking bigger and better. They're seeking to have more clothes or more a bigger house or a nicer car or more toys, as it were. Some are serving fame, and they're looking for recognition. They're looking for people to know who they are and to know their name. Others are seeking power. They want to be in control, and they're serving whatever they have to in order to get power. Many in our political system would be in that camp. But the question would be this: who or what are you serving? If everyone serves something, who or what are you serving today? Are you serving God? Are you committed to Him? Are you faithful to Him? Are you putting Him first? Are you serving Him with everything that is in you? And what does it look like to serve God? Is it a subjective service? And what I mean by that particular question is your serving of God, is it based on what you want to do and how you want to live and how you want to serve Him? Or is it an objective reality that we're serving Him according to what His Word would say and how His Word would say that we are to live and we are to serve Him? There is an idea in Christendom that people get to choose how to serve God. And what they mean by that is that they serve Him however seems right to them. But the Word would tell us that's a bad way to operate. The book of Judges, people did what was right in their own eyes. It didn't work out too good for them. And Jesus, when going through Samaria, and He meets the woman at the well, and He has a conversation with her, and He's talking to her about worship. It comes up because there's a dispute between Jews and Samaritans about where they are to worship. For the Jews, it's worshiping at the temple in Jerusalem. For the Samaritans, it is at the mountain there in Samaria. And Jesus would say, you have to worship the Father in spirit and truth, for he is seeking such to worship him. That it's not a subjective reality of worshiping God any way you want. Neither is it a subjective reality to serve God any way that you want. But in our culture, when our culture is promoting that your truth is good for you and my truth is good for me, and if you don't like my truth, too bad, it doesn't matter because it's my truth. In that same way, we've brought that into the church and go, well, this is the way I serve God, and this is the way you serve God, but the reality and the question that needs to be asked is, what does God say about what does it mean to serve him, and how should we serve him? So is there a certain way in which we are to serve God, or is it just a subjective reality? The context of our single scripture that I read to you is this, that Joshua, the successor of Moses, the one who would bring the children of Israel into the promised land, the one that God chose to succeed Moses, the one that God chose to bring them across the Jordan River to conquer the land of Canaan. They've conquered most of their enemies, and he grew tired, and the people grew tired, and they didn't quite wipe out all of the enemies that God had called them to do, and it would come back to haunt them later. But in this particular story, Joshua is old, and he is advanced in years. He's getting near the time of his death. His time of his passing is just about to come. He calls a meeting of the people of Israel. He calls them to gather together for a final summit, if you would, a final time of him addressing the people. And he walks through the work that God had done in bringing Israel out of the land of Egypt. How he delivered them from Egypt and how he brought them through the wilderness for 40 years because of their lack of faith and their disobedience, and he has brought them into the promised land. And with God's help, and primarily because of God, they have taken care of most of the enemies in that promised land. And he walks them through what God has done. He recounts their history. Then he brings them to a point of decision. After telling them all of the great things that God has done, he brings them to this point of decision. And that point of decision is this: are you going to serve God or not? This God who has delivered us out of bondage and this God who has delivered us into the promised land, are you going to serve him or not? Are you going to choose to serve the idols of the enemies that we have overcome, or the idols of the enemies that may still be on the outskirts and the periphery of the land of Israel? Are you going to serve them? Are you going to serve yourself or not? And he would answer his own question. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't end up mattering what you're going to do, but I'm just telling you, if you don't do it, as for me and my house, we've already made the decision. We're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what comes. We are committing to serving him. But why? This is important on this Father's Day. Why this is a big deal, why this would even be a topic for today is this. Because Joshua doesn't just say, I'm going to serve the Lord. He doesn't just say, I'm committed, I'm serving God no matter what. But he says, he takes it a step further. He says, that's for me and my house. That if you're in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do what God wants us to do. We're going to follow him and we're going to serve him. And Joshua's saying, I'm in charge of the household and I'm going to serve the Lord. And my family is going to serve the Lord. And everybody that's living with me is going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house. Typically, I would have multiple points for you. And so this would be the first one. The first piece of that verse, as for me and my house. As parents, you and I have to choose to serve the Lord. Now, I realize and I understand that there are people in here that are not fathers. I understand there are single moms in here. I understand there are wives in here, and you're in a a not broken home. You're together. But regardless, as parents, you and I have to choose to serve the Lord. It is clear that a father is an essential part of children growing up well and children growing up to serve the Lord. Studies would show, even in a secular way, that, in fact, I just saw this yesterday. I wasn't even looking for it. It just popped up in something that kids who are raised in single father homes do better than kids raised in single mom homes. Why? Because a father has a different perspective and a unique role in the family. And I realize, once again, there are single moms in the room. But whether you're a married dad, a single mom, you're in charge of the home. If you're the only one there, you're in charge of the home, and you have to make up in your mind, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what else is going on. It doesn't matter what tragedy or trauma comes. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to commit to serving God with everything that we have. We're going to commit, the whole house is going to serve the Lord. Many parents want their kids to serve God, but they themselves choose not to. You see it over and over in church settings. People, it's a common pattern. People raised in the house of God, raised going to church, get in high school, college, start a job, and many will walk away from their relationship with God. But when they have kids, it changes oftentimes. It'll change their perspective, and they will be like, "Well, yeah, I know I haven't really been serving God, but I want my kids to know who Jesus is. I want my kids to go to Sunday school. I want my kids to know." And they'll bring their kids to church. Sometimes just drop them off because they want their kids to get what they had when they were little, but they themselves are choosing not to serve God. The chance of that working is pretty slim. But when it starts with you, when you make up your mind that I'm going to serve God, then you're going to bring your kids and you're going to be there with them. You're going to be serving God with them. The chances of them serving God are going to go up exponentially. You have to decide if you want your kids to serve God, but it starts with you deciding that you're going to serve Him. You can't make your kids choose Jesus, but you can increase the chances of them making that choice. My parents, I mentioned this earlier, they didn't give me an option to skip church. My dad was a pastor. At times he was a solo senior pastor. Other times he was on church staff. But I don't remember ever on a Sunday morning or Sunday night. We had Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. The longest revival I remember having was 16 weeks. We'd take Mondays off and we'd have two services on Sunday and then Tuesday through Saturday every night. I don't remember ever my dad asking me, "You want to go to church today?" I don't remember my dad ever saying, "How much homework you got? Do you need to stay home tonight?" He knew I didn't do my homework anyway. But it wasn't a question. It wasn't an option. And I'm standing here today because it wasn't an option. Because somewhere back in 1973, when I was 1 year old, that my dad, who had missed a lot of church, and my dad who had been hurt, and my dad who had been working, said to my mom, "We're going to go to church today, and if God doesn't speak to us, we're never going back. But when they walked in to that service, and the preacher would look at the congregation and say, I don't know who you are, but God told me to tell you, there's somebody who walked in here today, and you said, if you don't hear from God and encounter Him today, you're never going back. I just want you to know God knows who you are, and He knows where you are. And from that point on, it wasn't a question. It was him and his house. Everybody was going to church. Everybody was showing up. The book of Proverbs would tell us to train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. The younger they are, the better the likelihood they will serve God. Statistics would show us that the majority of people by far come to know Jesus by the age of 12. And then after 18, it goes down significantly. When you bring your kids to the house of God, or you bring your grandkids, or you bring your nieces and nephews, you're training them up, or you're increasing the likelihood they're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua would say, as for me, my house, it doesn't matter who does serve Him. It doesn't matter who doesn't serve Him. It doesn't matter what's going on around. It doesn't matter what my friends are doing. As for me and my house, it's got to be settled once and for all to make up in your mind, we're going to serve God no matter what. We're not going to keep rehashing this and decide it's not an option. It's settled. We're going to serve the Lord. There is no alternative, and you've got to be all in for Jesus. Got to be all in for Jesus. Anna would go ahead and come. The next piece of Joshua's statement is, we will serve the Lord. Serving the Lord is different in our day. In Joshua's day, serving the Lord means you kept the feast. The seven major feasts of the Jews that God had ordained and put in place, you kept those. You did what was required. You made the appropriate sacrifices. You made the appropriate offerings. You did the appropriate activities. You performed animal sacrifice, and you lived by the Ten Commandments. You lived by the other 630 laws that God had put in place. You obeyed the dietary laws and the dress laws and all of the ceremonial laws of the Jews. Some of that we still do, such as obey the Ten Commandments. Some things have changed. We no longer offer animal sacrifices, and we don't celebrate the feast in the same way. It's not a requirement, and we don't have to follow the dietary laws that God had put in place. So things are different. Serving the Lord in our day, on one hand, can be spelled out by the things that we don't do. It's not an exhaustive list, but Paul in Galatians 5 would say this: you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. It's not a complete list. It's other sins like these. When you follow them, and he would say, let me tell you again as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. God does care what we do. But it's not just the things we don't do, but there's also things we do. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature. They've nailed them to the cross and have crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. It's serving God today. It's what we don't do, but it's also what we do. If you would stand together, if I could delineate it a little bit this way. When you're serving God, you spend time in His Word. You spend time in His Word for yourself to make yourself strong. I study for messages. And preachers can fall into a temptation that they only look at the Bible because they have to teach or they have to preach. And you have to do those things, but there's also, this is about my relationship with Him. I got to spend time in His Word just to draw close to Him. Just to hear what His Word has to say to me. Just to know what He wants me to do and how He wants me to live. We got to spend time in His Word. We got to spend time in prayer. We talk to God and we listen for His voice. And if you have kids at home, whether a dad, a mom, whether married or single, when you're living for you and your house, you got to read the Word with your kids. Maybe it's before they go to school. Maybe it's before they go to bed. Hey, come, let's gather together. Or before we turn out the light, let's read the Word of God together. Before they go to bed or when they get up, pray with our kids. We demonstrate what it means to walk with God. On the way to school, if you drop them off, it's a good time to pray. Just if you're driving, don't close your eyes. But on the way, God be with them today. God, you know the things they're going to face today. God, you know what the teachers are going to teach on. Help them to discern truth and error. Help them to withstand the pressure of their friends and others in school who would seek to lead them astray from you. God, let your presence be with them today. God, let your presence accompany them today. God, keep your hand of protection upon them today. And it can be the same thing every day as long as you mean it, but spending time with them. And when they go to sleep at night, God, keep your hand upon them. God, help them to sleep well. God, be with them tomorrow. That they would be the people that you want them to be. They would become who you've called them to be. Praying blessings on them. God, you've called them to do great things. God, we claim your word in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your prosperity and not for your demise. Plans to give you a future and a hope. God, I want that for my kids today. Help me, Lord, to raise them to serve you and to follow you. Spending time in the Word for yourself and spending time in your Word with them. Spending time in prayer for yourself and spending time in prayer for them. Modeling what it means. And that even means when you mess up, you ask forgiveness. Yeah, I overreacted. I was harsh. I was this. I was that. Whatever it is, will you forgive me? Having a demeanor of always being right is not near as good as saying, you know what? Let me show you how to repent. Let me show you how to respond when you mess up. Serving the Lord means that we are consistent to the house of God. so grateful all of you are here, and this is no indictment on anyone, but I would just tell you, if you treat church as an option, your kids down the road will treat it as an option. And while you may only occasionally miss for whatever reason, and if it's work, if it's travel, all of that, sick, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but it's like, we just want to go hang out. I've worked a lot this week, so let's just skip church today. You can always find a reason not to come to the house of God. And your kids will as well. And this is a truth that I've seen play out over and over and over, that I heard probably some 30 plus years ago. But what you do in moderation, your kids will do in excess. If you skip once a month, your kids are going to skip two or three or four. If you sin a little, they're going to sin a lot. It's just the way we're wired as fallen human beings. If you pray a little, they're probably not going to pray at all. So God is calling us to exemplify to our kids what they need to do to serve God. And I realize this is Father's Day, and it may be a little heavy to come to celebrate being a dad today. But there's a responsibility that goes with that role. And there's a responsibility that goes with the role of being a mom. And that is to lead our kids to know Jesus, to serve Jesus, and to be sold out and committed to Jesus. So my declaration for me today is this: as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what you do, we're still going to serve the Lord. And I would tell you, you should be able to look at me and say, Pastor, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you ever choose to leave and walk away from God, Pastor, it doesn't matter. I'm choosing to serve God. I'm not serving God for you. I'm serving God for me and for my kids. I'm serving God regardless, because there's only two places we're going. At the end of this life, there's only two options. And you don't want to go to hell, and you don't want your kids to go to hell and your grandkids to go to hell. And it starts with you to exemplify what it means to love Jesus and to serve Jesus and to follow Jesus. So if that's your desire today, I'm going to invite you to step out of wherever you are. Come to the front of this building. Would you just lift your hands and lift your voice and say, God, as for me and my house, we're going to serve you. As for me and my kids, we're going to serve you. If you're a grandparent, as for me and my grandkids, we're going to do everything, Lord, to make sure that they serve you. If you're an aunt or an uncle, well, all across this room, you should be stepping out of where you are. You should be making that declaration. And if you're single today and you don't have kids, it should be that same thing. Lord, when I have kids, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to still serve you. I'm not going to let that distract me. God, I want to serve you. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. God, we're going to commit everything to you, Jesus. We're going to commit everything to you.